This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Hike. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Depending on your age, you likely know LeVar Burton for one of several acting roles he's played on television. He burst into prominence in the late 1970s with the lead role of Kunta Kinte on the miniseries Roots. In the 1980s and 90s, millions knew him and his futuristic eyewear in his role as Geordi LaForge in Star Trek: The Next Generation. But the role that stuck with him the longest was himself, as the host of the public television series Reading Rainbow, which aired for 23 years. Burton hosted and was executive producer of the series, which worked to connect kids of many ages to a love of reading through books and video field trips that Burton took. The series went off the air in 2006, but was relaunched digitally in recent years thanks to a Kickstarter campaign that reportedly raised about $5 million in 3 days. LeVar Burton still takes on acting roles now and then, but most of his work these days is in reading and literacy. And that's what will bring him to Milwaukee later this month to speak at Sharp Literacy's annual luncheon. He joins us by phone this morning. LeVar Burton, such a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks, Mitch.
Before Reading Rainbow, before your acting career, when you were little, what were the books that started it all for you?
The book that I cite when that was the book I was reading when I really like got reading, when it really was cemented and became part of my DNA, was Captain's Courageous, and I cite that book as the one that really turned me on, because when I came to the end of that book, I was depressed, is the best way to describe it. I was profoundly sad because I had become so attached to the characters, and I was so enthralled with the world that I had been spending so much time in. When the experience came to an end, it was depressing.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because that's one of the ways that I judge books is, if I get to the point where I realize that I'm going to be sad when this book ends.
Yes. To this day, I slow down. When I know that's going to happen, I try and stave off that inevitable sense of depression, because there's just nothing like surrendering yourself and your imagination to a story well told.
You're talking to us, actually, I think, from a hotel room. Do you have books with you?
I do. I have a library on my iPad. I travel a lot these days, and I travel light, which is to say I travel with a backpack and my carry-on. We have the luxury these days of being able to cart around with us on some sort of tablet reading device or another an entire library, if we so choose.
And so what is the book that is capturing your attention right now?
I am into the Game of Thrones like you could not believe, or maybe you can. I was up until 4 o'clock this morning reading chapter after chapter after chapter. It's phenomenal.
This is a little like Harry Potter for grown-ups.
It is, and I read the Harry Potter books as well. I mean, storytelling is a part of the fabric of who we are. It is how we, in part, define ourselves as human beings, and there is nothing like connecting our imagination, which is really the superpower that all human beings possess. The ability to imagine a future or a reality outside of the one we are currently in. And when you combine the imagination and really good storytelling, you can literally travel anywhere in the universe.
Well, let's talk about how this meets up with television. Reading Rainbow, of course, had this incredibly long run. Even during that run, there were any number of other television shows, you know, public TV shows and later cable TV shows that took on literacy. What do you think was in the chemical formula of Reading Rainbow that made people react to it the way they did, even long after they were children themselves and even after the show itself went off the air, at least in its new form?
Wow, that's a big question. Well, I think it had something to do. It was a combination of things, clearly. There was the books themselves and the way we presented them, and it was really a great use of the technology of the time. of television, to move the camera over the otherwise still images in the art of the books themselves and create movement and sort of substitute for the reader's eye in moving the camera across the page. And then the storytelling experience was really powerful because, you know, we used the finest actors and storytellers on the planet to narrate those books. I think the storytelling experience was really well done. We then connected that book or the theme of that book to a real-world experience and through the video field trip. And that was a real important staple of the show as well. We combined the books with a video field trip experience, thereby giving the child an opportunity to explore the world and identify aspects of the world that they otherwise would not have known or been exposed to. And then there were the testimonials, the book reviews that kids did themselves. And I think that the audience of children saw their peers being excited and enthusiastic about literature that they were happy to share. And that sort of sparked an enthusiasm in them as well. I've got to believe it was a combination of all of those things.
Do you think the show changed the world in some way?
I do. And I say that unashamedly and unabashedly, because I receive evidence of that truth every day of my life. People come up to me, adults now, who grew up on reading Rainbow, and they always refer to it, dude, that was my childhood, right? I mean, their passion and enthusiasm for not just the show, but the impact that the show had on their lives says to me that we did make a difference. I believe that we, in some small way, had a hand in creating a generation, perhaps two, of adults today who are readers in part because of reading Rainbow. And for me, that's no small thing.
Lots of other shows have ended, and the people behind them have moved on to other things. Why was this so important to keep going?
This show and what this show is about, which for me is creating readers, creating human beings who are passionate about literature, who are developing the essential skill of becoming a lifelong learner. It's more than a job for me. This is my life. This is my vocation. This is what I feel like I have been put on this earth to do. And I don't believe that it is possible. It's certainly difficult, if not impossible, to develop yourself to your full potential without being a reader. We need to teach our children not just how to read, we also need to teach them how to love reading. And that's why I do this.
As you develop the new version, Reading Rainbow Mark II, if you will, it has both this kind of app component. It is an app component. And also, if I understand it right, you're working on making it into a classroom tool as well. What role do you see the classroom version playing in the context of what schools are already doing as far as reading education and you know, basic literacy skills?
Well, I see that we can be huge support in terms of supplemental reading that is applicable now, especially with Common Core, to all subject matters. It is important we now recognize to teach the whole child and to address our education of our children to them actually living in the world. We are no longer focused on teaching our kids how to take tests. We're teaching them how to learn and appreciate the learning that they're doing by making them better people.
What is it about the reading aspect that is important to you versus your sitting down and writing a series of children's books yourself?
Well, my focus for the last 36 years has been on sharing other people's stories with kids. And, you know, I guess it was a matter of time and timing. I have completed my first children's book, and it will be released this coming October.
I'm glad I asked that question. You were, of course, part of the television series Roots that was maybe one of the greatest conveners in the history of the medium. Mm. And even with Reading Rainbow, there was a beauty in it being a half-hour TV show that meant that when you were watching it, you weren't doing something else.
Yeah.
In reinventing Reading Rainbow digitally, do you have to take into account the different way that people, that kids are using media?
Absolutely. However, if you want to reach kids, you need to be in the digital realm. Look, the television was the technology that we used back in the 80s to reach kids because that's where they were. And we want to be effective with this message. We want to be effective with this mission. And so you need to be willing to meet kids where they are and then take them where you want them to go.
And so this is to say that as much as you might like to produce another half-hour block, it's realistically not what kids are about these days.
Well, we are actually contemplating what it might look like and feel like in today's world to create another, let's call it a half-hour version of Reading Rainbow, where it would be broadcast. We're sort of trying to figure that out. There are a lot of options these days, and I'm not unalterably opposed to it, so long as it brings something additional to the table in terms of our ability to reach kids.
Well, and how do you evaluate the work that you did and still do with Reading Rainbow versus the other aspects of your career, the acting, the voice work, the other things that make you who you are?
Well, that's a boy. As much as I love acting and directing and being a storyteller in the visual medium, there isn't anything that I do or have done that I think fills me with a deep sense of purpose that Reading Rainbow has. Currently, we have kids coming to the Reading Rainbow app and reading about 200,000 books a week. And what that means is that we have proven our belief that we can get kids to come to this very engaging technology to read, not just play games, but read. And that's a game changer for me.
As someone who has become kind of an expert in the area of reading education and literacy education, do you think is there some part of the conversation that we're not having about education in this country right now that you think needs to be addressed?
I'm encouraged that we're leaving No Child Left Behind. I'm encouraged that we're addressing ourselves to the whole child and to connecting the reading that a child does to all of the different subject matter. I'm wildly encouraged by the success of the Kickstarter campaign that Americans still do care about child literacy. I'm wildly excited that there seems to be a couple of generations of adults now who grew up on Reading Rainbow who really do believe that succeeding generations need Reading Rainbow or something like Reading Rainbow to encourage them in this direction. I feel like we are cracking the nut on what has been a real abysmal chapter in the story called Educating America's Kids.
You think we have turned a corner?
I think we are on our way to turning the corner. I think that we are making much better decisions and providing much better opportunities. I really genuinely believe that we can revolutionize the way we teach our children with this technology. And we just have to really be smart about it and bold and imaginative.
How much of the real LeVar Burton are we seeing in that role? And you know, how do you explain how you bring the real LeVar Burton to all the acting roles that you played through the years?
Wow. I don't know. It's not something that I think about a lot or am conscious of. But I will say that I have spent the better part of my life trying to identify what I believe to be my authentic self. And as an artist, I think that we are predisposed to want to share that authenticity. It is our stock in trade. It is, at the end of the day, that which we have to offer. And I've been pretty fortunate, very, very lucky, enormously blessed to have been able to express myself as an actor, as a director, as a writer, as a children's television host. And I hope that I am always able to bring an authentic part of myself to those expressions.
And so here's the question my daughter wanted me to ask. Did you have a favorite experience in all the field trips that you took for making Reading Rainbow?
Wow. So many.
She desperately wants it to be the whale watch.
Whale watching was unbelievably fun. And that's the thing. I mean, look, I think my job as the host of Reading Rainbow is the best job I've ever had. And I also, I'm the chief engineer of the Starship Enterprise. So whale watching, absolutely. I think of going to the volcano, to being on the precipice of Kilauea as it was in full eruption. I flew an airplane for the first time, learned how to dive for Reading Rainbow. The experiences that I've had have enriched my life immeasurably.
Well, LeVar Burton, you have given us a great window into your world. And first of all, thank you for spending some time with us on Lake Effect, and thank you for all your years of Reading Rainbow.
Well, my pleasure.
LeVar Burton was the host of Public Television's Reading Rainbow for 23 years. He's now co-founder and curator-in-chief of the digital edition of Reading Rainbow, which features a website, an app, and a classroom curriculum. He'll speak later this month at the Sharp Literacy Annual Luncheon in Milwaukee, and there is a link to more information about that from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Another big name is keynoting an event this week in Milwaukee. Wisconsin native Butch Vig talks about the music industry and a new album by Garbage, the band he co-founded 20 years ago, when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.